a soft word from John the Baptist. And in this season of waiting and a season where we place our hope, as we talked about last week, in something that's a part of the ground of our being, we kind of need to be shaken up a little bit. And when John speaks to the Pharisees, he speaks to the Pharisee in you and me. He speaks to the hypocrisy that's in the midst of us. And he says, "You brood of vipers! Who are you? Who are you to come here? Who are you to think that you can sort of skirt the end of the age? Wake up. It's cold outside. You've got some work to do." That's what I get from it. That's what the Lord says to me. And I'm not pointing a finger. My grandmother always said, "Daniel, if you point a finger, you got three pointing back at yourself. At least, right?" We have to be aware of the hypocrisy when we come to a season where we're going to talk about peace today. And sometimes the peace that we want expressed in our hearts is more of a stasis than a recognition that we have a trust in the Almighty that goes far beyond anything that we can expect. It goes beyond our ability, really, to have peace, a peace that passes understanding. So when Jesus confronts all of us, he does the next thing that most of us don't do. When we see things that are not in line the way that we want them, we often don't restore. We often don't take the time to see those things put back in line. And because that takes time, it's messy. Guess what? The church is messy, folks. But John was just saying, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You know, we can have fruit in our lives and we can look good on the outside, but it can be rotten on the inside. Bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance means once we've dealt with the inside, what's outside matches the inside. It's sweet and it's meaty and it has something of value to the world. When you hear people's testimonies and you know they've been through the ringer. I had a sweet old lady at St. Paul's Church when I was there, and I finally said to her one day, I said, "Clarice, are you for real?" I said, "You're so sweet. It's almost like I want to pinch your cheeks, but it just doesn't seem," because she always talked to me like this. She's like, "I love Jesus and I'm praying for you." And I just thought, well, I just don't know, like, what's there? And then I heard her testimony and the ringer that she'd been through in her life. It's not for me to share with you, but it just made me realize how real she is. She'd been through it. She'd been through a life that you wouldn't even imagine out of that person. But because God had restored her so much, she was able out of that wellspring to pray. And that's what we come to when we look for peace. We're looking for a wellspring that we can't muster, that we can't create, but comes out of the trials and tribulations that God has given us in life so that we can pray. So that we can get ourselves aligned with him, so that we can get ourselves in a place where we can focus. And you hear that throughout. And the people of God ask the question, how is this going to be? How is Israel going to be at peace? How are we not going to be at war? How will the lion and the leper and the calf and sheep and all these things get along? We hardly do that in the church as it is, right? I'm not just talking this church. We have a perfect church, right? But in the church in general, we just, you pick up the morning newspaper. It's falling apart. And Gary talked about seeing a church that was falling apart that sort of spurred that song. We fall apart because we're not focused. We fall apart because we're not loving the way that Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And so when we get back to that place of being centered, we can pray. And we can pray in such a way that we understand what the Lord, the picture that he's painting for us. So if you're stumped about how the Lord's going to fix it, then look to the stump. Look to the stump. The stump out of the stump of Jesse. Out of the place where history and what we've placed our hope and our strength on, out of generations past, leveled to the ground, the roots will bring forth a shoot. And we see the Old Testament showing us a way to interpret Scripture. So when you hear people think about, you know, the inconsistencies in Scripture, you have to help them understand that Scripture interpreted Scripture. They were only saying, this is uncanny, the way that these prophecies that have been spoken have been lived out. And so out of the stump, the root of Jesse, out of the line of David, comes the one who will restore it all. And in Christ, we'll get to see the outpouring. His delight, Jesus' delight, is in the fear of the Lord. Not ours. It's not easy to be in the fear of the Lord, is it? It's a frightful thing to be in the hand of a living God. But for Jesus, it was he, myself and the Father. We're one. So I'm in for this roller coaster ride because he'll never harm me. He only loves me. He only wants what's best for me, and he's going to pour out an abundance. So if I yield to him for this ride is going to be something that pours out upon me and those around me an abundance. And you'll hear it in the psalm today. But I just want to point out a few things from the Old Testament today. In him is established what we later will pray, the full armor of God. It is his righteousness. Will be a belt around his waist. And there are different analogies here, but very similar. Faithfulness will be the belt of his loins. The character of the living God in the one that came in Christ is the one who we should look for. So he will establish a level of peace which is beyond our understanding. I mean, what's beyond our understanding? The lamb and the leopard, the goat and the calf and the fatted calf. We'll hang out with a lion. I mean, that's saying the lion has a buffet, okay? Not only the little calf who's helpless, but the fatted calf who's helpless because he's all porked up and ready for the dinner table. But they'll lie with each other in peace. God's provision is outpouring, and it's a picture that we can't imagine because it's not one that we see happening even in nature. The lion shall eat straw, like the ox. The nursing child will play over the hole of the snake. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm not into snake handling. I know some Pentecostal groups sort of tempt fate with that kind of stuff, and their trust is in the Lord, that the Lord won't allow anybody to be bitten. I'm not sure I can go there. But I can say we're getting a picture from Isaiah. And the picture that's being painted is the one who is to come will establish something that we can't imagine. I would never let my kids play over a snake hole. I would never let a young kid, a toddler, an elementary school kid play, put his hand on an adder's den. But the promise here is that what we'll see will be glorious. And the picture that we're getting painted for us is from the cradle to the grave, there'll be an establishment of something that's unshakable. It's unshakable. When we go to the psalm that we heard today, I'll just sort of run through a few things and just say, this is a prayer. This was David crying out for something to be established that brought peace to the world. He wanted it to be established for generations. There's word pictures here that are really rich, but when he says he will, the mountains will bring forth peace and the little hills righteousness to the people. You have to picture what comes forth from the mountains that brings forth peace is often described as a river. So the melting snow of the winter brings forth rushing waters that go down into little tributaries and streams that feed the land. So even the little hills along the way are being covered in his peace. And the picture goes on to say he's a vindication for the poor, and that those that fear him will last longer than they can imagine, like the moon. They'll bring a second season of harvest. Did you hear that in that scripture? No, it's not written there for in those specific words, but when you hear the words, he says, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, first cutting. And even the showers that water the earth, there'll be a second season, a new growth season, a new season of abundance. It will be a season of honor. It'll be a season that's forever. And what does he give to the people who would receive it? Verse 12 through 14, he says, he will deliver. He shall be favorable. He will deliver. He delivers his people. He brings them provision, and he pours out upon them righteousness in judgment that only God can bring. Thank you, Steve, for helping get us back on the screens. Appreciate you. And he closes out this psalm with three statements. Verse 15, and this is, verse 15 was the last verse that Kristen read this morning. May he live, and unto him shall be given the gold of Arabia. Now, all you can think of at that point in time is who? Anybody? We're almost there, 3 weeks away. One of the wise men. Coming and placing gold at the Lord's feet. They had been looking for this, not only this prophetic word from the scriptures, but an outpouring of what were the skies saying? And if you saw the Bethlehem Star with us last year during Holy Week, the scripture, the skies at the time were pointing directly to Judea, to Bethlehem, to a place where the one who would be the stump of Jesse would be born. A peace established beyond our expectation or understanding. There would be favor from Arabia upon him. There'd be abundance of grain in the earth. There'd be a feast set before his people. And his name will endure forever. You've got a family name. Do you love being with your families? Do you love being with your St. Luke's family? Let's just put it that. That banner over our lives is something that we can be proud of, and we can enjoy, and we can revel in. When we have our family together, I love being with my kids. We have the goofiest, craziest time, and we talk about the crazy Morgan traits. I mean, there are some things that, you know, we kind of go, I wish that wasn't passed on from generation to generation. But when you hear the word talk about may his name be, may his name endure forever, we're talking about you and I being brought into the family of God. The name of God, his banner over us, being a covering, his authority being over us. So that when we receive his, when we receive peace, we're not receiving peace from any action that we've taken, but peace because he's established it forever over us and through us. My friend has a tattoo on his back. It says, for the sake of the name, in Hebrew. We are to be marked for the sake of the name. Our purpose, our power, our peace have got to come from knowing him. So when the psalmist describes where it starts, he talks about an infant, a nursing child, a baby calf. He's trying to give us pictures of from the beginning until the very end of who we are. We need to be bearing fruit in keeping with repentance so that we have established for ourselves one who has given us an eternity to live into now. Let me say that again. We have an eternity to live into now. Because the Prince of Peace has given us a life of freedom, if we live in his authority, if we take that that collect that was read this morning seriously, we get our bread and butter from the scriptures. They were written for our learning, that we might hear them, read them, mark, learn, and regurgitate them. Inwardly digest them. The scriptures are there. They are, as it says in Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the men and women of God may be fully equipped for every good work. If you're ready for the roller coaster ride, if you're ready to be abandoned in the life of Christ, if you really want peace, anybody in here not want peace? Because there's enough turmoil in this life to have anxiety. There's enough reason for the fact that there's a majority of people in our culture now that are suffering from some level of anxiety and depression. It's rampant. There's only one solution. There's only one solution, and that is to trust that whatever the Lord allows for us to go through, whether it be economic, whether it be physical, whether it be some kind of disease or family generational thing, whatever he has allowed for us, he will use so that he can bring us to fullness, so that he can restore us in him, so that we are beginning to look like him. My friend Clarice, the reason why she can be who she is because she'd been through the ringer. But man, she looks like Jesus, and I want to be like Clarice when I grow up. I'm having trouble growing up, but my prayer for you this Advent season is that as you seek the Lord for peace, that it wouldn't be a stasis, that it wouldn't be just a place where you lean back and get a vacation, but you lean into whatever the Lord's given you, good, bad, or indifferent, and you trust him for the ride so that people will say, "What is with you? Why are you so happy? Why are you so comfortable in the midst of the storm?" I have this picture in my mind. It's popped in all morning of this. I think I showed it to you last year, of this lighthouse worker, and the wave is enveloping the lighthouse out in the middle of the ocean, and he's waiting for somebody to come rescue him because the storm is so bad. And he pops outside of the door just as the wave is hitting. And some photographer, he thought somebody was coming to save him in the helicopter, and it was actually a photographer taking pictures. And it caught him standing there as the wave is just about to come over the whole lighthouse. And that's the kind of peace that we have. In the midst of the storm, the lighthouse isn't going over. And the Lord protects us from the wave, and it protected him, by the way. The man survived, even though the first three floors of that place got covered with water. He was able to get back in and climb up the stairs. God's got our back. He's got your back. So in this season of hope and peace, I pray that you'll trust that he's bringing a restoration in your life that goes far beyond anything that can come against you. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, you've taught us in the scriptures to see what you've spoken in ages past and how they've been fulfilled. And we know that in Jesus we are healed and restored. We know that we see signs of that. Maybe we don't see the completion of it yet, but we trust you. Would you guide us and lead us into a restoration that doesn't just paint over or whitewash our past, but removes it, brings a death to those old ways, to those old things, and brings us to life anew in you. Help us, Lord, in this Advent season to be a reflection of that hope and of that peace in Jesus. Amen.